Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. On today's broadcast, we get back into Matthew's Gospel. But before I do that, I want to mention that all next week, I'm going to be talking to Trisden Ausbay. He's the State Secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians and the Hungry Helps Program. He's the only person in the world with a government title that has the term persecuted Christian in it. Hungary, which is an EU nation, has already spent over $50 million helping Christians who make up 80% of the world's persecuted people. This is going to be a riveting time. Again, speaking to a leader of an EU nation who is working to help persecuted Christians around the world. And this is something we talked about in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Again, all next week, we're going to talk about persecution of Christians right now, right here in the 21st century. When we were last in Matthew's Gospel, we talked about what Jesus said with respect to murder. He said, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Rakah,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." And then as we continue on today's broadcast, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go be reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift." Today's passage, well, it has enormous ramifications for both time and for eternity. In this passage, Jesus is speaking of the transcendent significance of reconciliation. If someone rightly has something against you, such that you have indeed wronged your brother, it's imperative, says our Lord, to first seek reconciliation. Do that, and then come, offer your gift, whatever that gift may be. I think of this every time I walk toward the altar in order to receive the pure body and the precious blood of Christ. I remember that it's crucial that I have rightly examined myself so that I do not partake in an unworthy manner. How can we seek reconciliation with God without first seeking reconciliation with those who are created in His image and likeness? when we're truly repentant of our sins, well, then God bestows grace and pardon. And then in truth, we receive God's grace through faith. And thus, Jesus taught us not only to pray, forgive us our debts, but to forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The debts we owe one another, well, they're small change compared to the infinite debt we owe our Heavenly Father. And because we have been forgiven an infinite debt, it is indeed a horrendous evil to even consider withholding forgiveness from those who genuinely seek it. We must always manifest the kind of love that's willing to forgive. However, let me quickly add that forgiveness is always a two-way street. It's a two-way street leading toward the restoration of fellowship. And therefore, it requires someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. If you are to forgive me, I must be repentant. Otherwise, there can be no restoration of fellowship. There can be no true forgiveness. We must, of course, never suppose that our standard of forgiveness is higher than God's standard of forgiveness. He objectively offers us forgiveness and the restoration of fellowship with Him. But we do not subjectively realize that forgiveness until we repent. Better put, until we live lives of continuous repentance. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, Jesus continues, with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still on the way with him, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. I'll tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. A few weeks ago, I spoke of a parable chronicled in Matthew chapter 18. It's that familiar story of two debtors. Jesus says that the master forgave the first debtor a debt he could never have repaid. But instead of being grateful, he tracked down a man who owed him, well, just a pittance, and not only demonstrated unforgiveness, but had him incarcerated in debtor's prison. Jesus ends the parable by saying that when the master heard what had gone down, he called the wicked debtor and he said, I canceled all that debt of yours. I did it because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow debtor just as I had mercy on you? And so the master turned to the man who had been forgiven much and turned that man over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. And then said Jesus, this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Here in Matthew chapter 5, we have a similar circumstance. A man leaves his gift at the altar. He seeks to be forgiven before going back to the altar and offering his gift. But the person who he sought forgiveness from also owes a debt. He owes the debt of forgiveness so that true reconciliation can take place. If he refuses to forgive, says Jesus, he, like the man who was forgiven much in Matthew chapter 18, will be handed over to the judge, who will hand him over to the officer, and he will be thrown into prison, a not to veiled reference to the eternal prison of hell. Jesus bestows grace and forgiveness to all repentant sinners. We likewise must forgive our brothers and sisters from the bottom of our hearts. For if we do not, we ourselves will not be forgiven and reconciled in this life, nor in the life that is to come. Sobering words from the master teacher indeed. When we come back from the break, we're going to move from the sixth commandment to the seventh, from murder to adultery. And as always, as we go to break, I want to say thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for this platform. You have made it possible. Thanks for giving in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. But resurrection deniers are deceiving millions with the story that it's a gargantuan fraud. That's why we want to send you Hank's book, The Third Day, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. By the last page, you will have encountered all the evidence necessary to show not only that Christ's resurrection is an immutable fact, but that your own resurrection is just as certain. Request your copy today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As I said just before the break, in this sequence in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus moves from murder to adultery to divorce. And I remember many years ago when I was memorizing this passage with two of our staff members, I always remembered this sequence as mad. Murder, adultery, divorce. Madness to murder, to commit adultery, to get a divorce. But we'll start with adultery, for Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Here, as with the sixth commandment, the problem is not with the eye or the hand. It's with the heart. And only God's grace, accessed through our faith, can keep the heart pure. Jesus, the master teacher, in verse 28, he identifies the real culprit as not the eye or the hand, not the right hand or the left, but the heart. Why? Because it is out of the heart from which all sorts of evil spring. If losing an eye or amputation was the solution, then the blind and the lame could rest easily. While it may serve a righteous purpose to cut off from yourself those who lead you into sin, it is ultimately the heart that needs to be refreshed, renewed, restored through God's goodness and through His grace. Apart from that, we are all in big trouble, for not one of us can keep God's commandments with utter perfection. Jesus alone, as we have previously seen, is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. When Jesus renews our hearts, when He changes us by His marvelous grace, when His uncreated energies are received through the sacramental life of the church, He remakes the parts of our bodies from instruments of death and unrighteousness into instruments of life and righteousness. I love the way St. Paul puts it. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." Again, what Jesus is after is the renewal of our hearts. All else follows that. Well, with that, Jesus moves into the matter of divorce. He says, it has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And then anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Here, as always, we do well to read Scripture in light of Scripture. And when we do that, we immediately ascertain a primary principle. What is that principle? Well, it's simply this. God hates divorce, as Malachi the prophet put it. Well, you may recall a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees that is chronicled in Matthew chapter 19. And I want to recall that passage for you because I think it's instrumental in cashing out this piece on divorce. Because in this passage, the Pharisees asked Jesus if it is lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason. And Jesus answers them and says, have you not read that God, who made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and then said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one. And therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so the Pharisees have a rejoinder. They say to Jesus, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce? And Jesus says to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So here's what we know. We know that God hates divorce. His condescension for human weakness does not negate the original precept of permanent monogamous marriage as revealed from the very beginning of time, what we read about in Genesis chapter 1. A second thing is this. What God has joined together, humans ought never to separate. Thirdly, Mosaic law permitted divorce only because of the hardness of the human heart. Fourth, reconciliation and forgiveness should always be foremost in the mind of the believer. We have been forgiven an immeasurable debt, and therefore it is a horrendous evil to even consider withholding forgiveness from a spouse who sincerely seeks it. A fifth point. The best of all worlds is either to remain single or marry only one person for the duration of one's life. Sixth, divorce is permitted only on the grounds of sexual immorality, desertion, as we see in 1 Corinthians 7:15, and then actions or activities that rise to the level of desertion, threat to a spouse, to the life of a child, and the like. And then finally, marriage is a sacrament of the church, something that I'm going to pick up in the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As humans, we are created in the image of the Trinity and thus are intended for marital unity. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, to multiply, and thus the church considers marriage a sacramental mystery, one of the great gifts that God has given humankind. Again, we will pick up there next time right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember all of the resources that we have garnered for years on this subject and many others can be found on the web at equip.org. And again, thank you to all of you who make this broadcast an ongoing reality. So long for now. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Learn to defend the resurrection with Hank's book, The Third Day, our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support today. Examine and explode the lies of resurrection deniers and strengthen your confidence in your own resurrection. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.